You know, the Golden Globes are kind of stupid. It's just the foreign press, and there's about like 90 people who vote on this, and a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is who would it be cool to have in the room with us? They don't necessarily deserve the nomination, but it'll be awesome if Brad Pitt's in the audience. So let's nominate Brad Pitt, and he's not going to get nominated for anything else. I'm just using Brad Pitt as an example. But, like, you remember the movie The Tourist? Nobody really does. It was Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie. And it got, like, a slew of nominations because, simply, the Hollywood Foreign Press wanted Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie there. I mean, because nobody, you know, I mean, Ricky Gervais made fun of it, made fun of the movie that night and the fact that it got nominated. And they've done it again this year. I mean, they've nominated some stuff that's absolutely absurd. And, you know, I guess it's a long shot now for Toni Collette to even get nominated for Hereditary. And I just find that an absolute shame. I know we've talked about this before. Hereditary is a horror movie. And it's a straight up horror movie, and it gets real weird during the last 15 minutes. I mean, the last 15 minutes of Hereditary is insane. It's completely insane. So I can understand that it's not sort of, you know, the kind of thing that would normally be, you know, an awards season nominee, but she's so good in it. I mean, even people who think, you know, Hereditary is weird and it shouldn't be considered, you know, a serious awards film, you have to acknowledge how good Toni Collette is in it. But she's, and now I'm thinking she might not even get nominated for an Oscar, which is just a shame, a real shame. But anyway, here are the nominees again in the motion picture category for the Golden Globe. When are the Golden Globes, Dan? Do we know? We talked about the hosts. The hosts are Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg, which is going to be, I think, going to be a fun combination. I think they're going to do a good job. I'm looking forward to it. But it'll be on NBC because it's always on NBC.
Sunday, January 6th.
Okay, Sunday, January 6th. Oh, God, it's less than a month. That's less than it's less than a month away. You know, actually, Dan, that's going to be that next morning when we come back. That's going to be when we do the year end thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
With the guys. So we can maybe combine. Well, you know, the year end thing usually takes up the whole show, but we can kind of get the guys' thoughts on the winners that morning. So that'll be something we can do. So, as you know, they split it between comedy and drama. And I just want to read the first thing I don't want to do before we get into the nominations is Judd Apatow was talking about this in 2016. This is Judd Apatow, and the headline here reads, I wanted to pull this out because it's a constant source of comedy, no pun intended, but it's always a bristling point with the Golden Globes splitting the drama and the comedy up. And so Judd Apatow says he also thinks the Golden Globes comedy category is stupid. Let's be real. Is The Martian really even a comedy? Somebody had to say something. On Sunday night, while Judd Apatow was presenting Amy Schumer with the MVP award at the 2016 Critics' Choice Awards, he made sure to jab the Golden Globes for its oft-ridiculous film categorizations. Naturally, he did so with a hilarious and profane speech during which he specifically called out a smiling Matt Damon, who took it all very well. He said, I got Matt Damon staring at me right now after that whole Golden Globes comedy thing. We have only one award, Matt. That's all we get. I'm like the nerd on the schoolyard, and you just stole my milk money. I mean, can we just pick whatever category we want to be in? We have an Asian man in our movie, so now it's a foreign film, he added. The comedian and train wreck director also took a shot at dramas in general, saying, I don't mean to be weird about it, but all the dramas out there, go blank yourself. So that's Judd Apatow. And, you know, it's often been a stretch when the Golden Globes put certain movies under comedy. But when they put The Martian under comedy, you know, comedy or musical, it's comedy musical, you know, and The Martian is neither, you know, The Martian is neither. That was the most blatant display of idiocy because The Martian is a science fiction drama. That's what it is. There are some funny things in it, but it is not a comedy. And so, but in order to get Matt Damon to be there, in order to, you know, to get more awards and more star power, they'll just throw something into a comedy category. Comedy or musical. Like, for instance, Baby Driver. Okay, Baby Driver was put under the category of comedy musical. Now, you could argue that it possibly is a musical. Possibly, but it's really not. It's just a, you know, it's just Edgar Wright has a brilliant use of music and songs in it, but it's not a musical. Technically, it's not a musical, and it's certainly not a comedy, Baby Driver. So, again, this is one of the reasons why the Golden Globes are considered stupid for so many reasons. I mean, it's a fun show to watch, and I'm award season. I love award season. I don't care. I know it's a bunch of rich people in a room patting each other on the back for being rich. I know that. I understand that. But I like watching it. I like the red carpet stuff. I don't care. I'm shameless about that kind of stuff. I think it's very entertaining. So it kicks off with the Golden Globes. So here are the motion picture nominations in both the comedy and drama categories. Actor in a motion picture comedy, Christian Bale in Vice, Viggo Mortensen in Green Book. Again, I don't think Green Book is a comedy. I mean, there's a lot of funny stuff in it, but I don't think it's a comedy. I think Green Book is a drama, you know, about race relations and about the relationship between two guys. It also happens to have some funny stuff in it, some very, very funny stuff in it, but I would not categorize it as a comedy. But if that's the way that Viggo Mortensen gets a nomination, I guess that's fine. Lin-Manuel Miranda for Mary Poppins Returns. Robert Redford for The Old Man and the Gun. Again, not a comedy. I don't think it's a comedy. I don't think The Old Man and the Gun is a comedy. There are funny things in it, but I don't think it's a comedy. And then John C. Reilly for Stan and Ollie. Also, just because it's about Laurel and Hardy, I've seen the movie, okay? I've seen it. And John C. Reilly's good in it, and so is Steve Coogan. Both performances are great. I didn't think the movie was good. I thought it was, like Bohemian Rhapsody, pretty historically inaccurate. And very simplistic. And so I wasn't a fan of the movie, but I like both performances. But I don't think that's a comedy. Just because it's about Laurel and Hardy, and they did comedy movies, this isn't necessarily, this is a biopic. So, but I guess, it can fall under comedy because there are funny things in it. So there you go. Those are your nominations. Christian Bale in Vice. I hated Vice. This is the movie about Dick Cheney that Adam McKay, one of the most disappointing movies of the year for me because I love Adam McKay. I've loved him ever since SNL. And, there were things about The Big Short that annoyed me. I liked it. I recommended The Big Short. There's great stuff in that movie, but there were things about it that annoyed me, and all the things that annoyed me in The Big Short, he does times 1,000 in Vice. It's a really annoying movie. And Christian Bale, he gained a lot of weight. You know, they put some makeup on him. It's a fine performance. I wouldn't give him a nomination. It's a fine performance. So Viggo Mortensen is great in Green Book. I have not seen Mary Poppins Returns yet. Robert Redford is terrific in The Old Man and the Gun. And it's a great performance, and it might be his last performance. So there's a chance, you know, that they're going to award Robert Redford. I don't think he's never won an acting Academy Award. I don't think he's ever won an acting Academy. Maybe he has, and I don't remember it, but he won for director. He's won a Best Director Award. He won for Ordinary People. He won Best Director for that, but I don't think he's ever won an acting award.
Correct. Only nominated once for The Sting.
He was nominated for The Sting. He didn't win, and he won for Director of Ordinary People. This one could, gain some. This one could really gain some gas. You know what I mean? Like, it really could. This really could steamroll if they do this right. If they advertise it right. If they get the campaign going for Robert Redford, because he's gone on record as saying this might be his last movie. And the guy's been in the business forever and has done so much as a filmmaker, and the Sundance Institute and the film festival and all that stuff. He's made a major impact in the world of film, and he's also a really good actor. So, if they handle the campaign right, there's a chance Robert Redford might sneak in there and get it. I mean, I think he's going to be nominated. I think he's going to be nominated for an Academy Award. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. Nobody saw the movie. The problem is nobody saw the movie. That's the main problem, is that the studio really blew it on the releasing of the movie. It's a really good movie, too. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could they really, if they get behind it, the studio gets behind it, they could get a pretty successful campaign for Robert Redford. But in this category, Viggo Mortensen to me is the best performance out of the five. Or five, yeah. Because here's another thing about the Golden Globe. Sometimes there are six nominees. Sometimes there are five. I don't know. Actress in a motion picture for musical or comedy. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Okay. The Favorite is a comedy. It's a black comedy, and she's amazing in it. And I love The Favorite. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. Hold on a minute now. All right. I also love the fact that it's defiantly spelled with the British U. Emily Blunt for Mary Poppins Returns. I hear she's great in it. I hear she's really, really terrific in it. Constance Wu for Crazy Rich Asians, which had a big showing here at the Globes. And Charlize Theron for Tully. Again, not sure Tully's a comedy. I mean, there are funny things in it. She's great in it, by the way. And that movie will be ignored by the Academy. It's a shame, too, because it's one of the best performances of the year. And then this is a lovely surprise. Elsie Fisher for Eighth Grade. And if this continues, she might get nominated for an Academy Award. She's so good in that movie. She's just a kid, too. You know, she was in Eighth Grade when they made the movie. She's like 14 now, I think. She's 14 now. And she's so good in the movie, and it's such a good movie. Eighth Grade is a great movie. I would love to see her get nominated. That would be great. But out of this group, having not seen Mary Poppins Returns, Olivia Colman is my choice from The Favorite. She's spectacular. All the performances are spectacular in that movie. All right. Well, more with the dumb Golden Globe nominations, and then we'll get into some of the. I have this. I love this. The 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time. So we'll go through that. Golden Globes are dumb, but they're fun. So we'll get back to that right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show, Spies and You Big Dummy, all coming up a little bit later on. We're talking about the Golden Globes. We're doing the movie side of the Golden Globes. If you have any comments or questions, you have thoughts about the nominees or past Golden Globe stuff, phone lines and text lines are open. We'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 o'clock with the opening bell, and coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, let's get back to the nominations here. These are the motion picture categories. Actor in a motion picture drama, Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, John David Washington for BlacKkKlansman, and Lucas Hedges for Boy Erased. So in this one, I have not seen At Eternity's Gate yet. That's one of the screeners that I will be watching over the weekend. But I do love Willem Dafoe. Bradley Cooper and Rami Malek, those guys are a lock for the Academy Award nominations. I was just happy to see John David Washington for BlacKkKlansman get nominated. One of the things I liked, one of the few things that I like about these nominations in the Golden Globes is how BlacKkKlansman really stood up, and hopefully that'll get some buzz for the Oscars as well. John David Washington's terrific in BlacKkKlansman. Lucas Hedges was good in Boy Erased, but the movie's not good. Like really not good. Cooper's great in A Star is Born. Rami Malek did what he could in Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, the movie sucked, but I mean, he did come to play. He's the best part of the movie. There's no question about it. Like, unfortunately, it's a terrible movie. So, of the performances, personally, I like John David Washington in BlacKkKlansman the best. I think it's the best performance here. So I don't know what's going on with the Oscars here, because I think the possibility that Viggo Mortensen will be nominated for Green Book is pretty strong, and there's a possibility that Christian Bale might even be nominated for Vice. So that would knock maybe Willem Dafoe out and John David Washington out of the race as well. So, but yeah, I don't know. Bradley Cooper is probably the favorite. That would be my guess. Actress in a motion picture drama, Lady Gaga for A Star is Born, Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Glenn Close for The Wife, Rosamund Pike for A Private War, and Nicole Kidman for Destroyer. This category is these are maybe except for Rosamund Pike, these are all strong possibilities for Oscar nominations. I think Lady Gaga and Nicole Kidman are locks for sure, and I think Melissa McCarthy is pretty good too. So that leaves like two slots open. Maybe Olivia Colman, which would be nice, or Emily Blunt. But out of the five performances here, my favorite performance is Nicole Kidman. Destroyer is whoa. I mean, that's a wow, that movie. And she's great in it. But it's that movie is, that'll get under your skin, man. That was a, I watched it like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was just like, huh? I mean, but she's great in it. It's the best performance. But I don't know, man. I got a feeling that everything is going to go Lady Gaga's way. The buzz on that movie from the beginning of the you know, when everybody was talking about the movie, when it came out, it had such an enormous success at the box office, and she got stellar reviews, and she's terrific in the movie. And I really think she's just gonna battle in, and I think she's gonna win the Oscar. I predict that Lady Gaga will win the Academy Award for A Star Is Born. I think there have been better performances, but I just think it's inevitable that she's gonna get it. So, and she's great in it. So, actor in a supporting role in a motion picture. And again, here's what they do in the supporting. This is how stupid the Golden Globes are. In the supporting performance category, they put comedy with drama. So they just, the whole drama comedy thing is thrown out the window for the supporting performances. They do the same thing in the TV. So, actor in a supporting role in a motion picture, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? He's great. He's great in everything. Richard E. Grant is great. They should just give him an Academy Award every year just because he lives. Mahershala Ali for Green Book, fantastic performance. Timothy Chalamet for Beautiful Boy, again, a great performance. Sam Rockwell for Vice, best thing in the movie is Sam Rockwell. He plays George W. Bush, and he's really good in it. He's not in it a ton, though. You know, I mean, it's such a good performance. You know, he's in it very, not in it a ton. I think he's in like four scenes, perhaps. But he's so good in it, and so clearly the best thing in the movie, that's probably why he's going to get recognition. And he's Sam Rockwell, you know. Won the Academy Award last year. And then Adam Driver for BlacKkKlansman. This category is great. This is a great category. All five performances are really, really good. But I got to go with Mahershala Ali for Green Book. That's my choice. I mean, it's a great... Him and Viggo Mortensen, I mean, those two performances are two of my very favorite performances of the year. Two of the best male performances of the year. And then the favorite, three of the best female performances of the year. In that movie. So, but, yeah, I don't know. And then Timothy Chalamet is fantastic in Beautiful Boy. And maybe they'll give it to him because he didn't get it last year. He was so great in Call Me By Your Name, but he didn't get it last year, so maybe they'll go his way. You know, Mahershala Ali has already got an Oscar. And I think he won the Golden Globe the year that Moonlight came out. I think he swept every... That year, I think, I'm pretty sure he swept every single award that you could possibly get in the supporting category when Moonlight was during award season. And Richard E. Grant is just, he's so good in Can You Ever Forgive Me? And it's the best part Richard E. Grant has had in a long time. And I think it's a movie that first of all, it's a really good film. Both he and Melissa McCarthy are terrific in it. But I think it's a movie that's going to remind people just how damn good Richard E. Grant is. Like, how great an actor he is and has been. And he's been in the business for a long, long time. So I like him. But Mahershala Ali is my choice for supporting actor. That's a great category, though. All five performances are really strong. Okay, why don't we take a break? We got the news coming up next, and then we'll jump right back into the rest of the movie nominations from the Golden Globes. Right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies and You Big Dummy. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. And we're talking about the Golden Globes. We talked about the TV nominations with Dan Feinberg, and now I'm breaking down the motion picture nominations in both the comedy and drama categories. And then we're also going to talk about how dumb the Golden Globes are at times and the 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time. If you have any Golden Globe thoughts, if you have any thoughts about the nominees this year or any of the past stuff from the Golden Globes, our phone line and text lines are open. We would love for you to jump in. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, let's pick up with actress in a supporting role in a motion picture. Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone for The Favorite, Rachel Weisz for The Favorite, Amy Adams for Vice, and Claire Foy for First Man. Amy Adams is fine in Vice. Again, I hated the movie, so I would not vote for Amy Adams. But people, you know, she's in awards now. She's a darling now, and deservedly so, because she's great. Regina King is the best part of If Beale Street Could Talk. I guess I'm not really a big fan of Barry Jenkins, because I wasn't crazy about Moonlight. Everybody went nuts over Moonlight. They're all going nuts over If Beale Street Could Talk. I guess I'm just not. His style doesn't hit me like it hits everybody else. But Regina King is great in the movie. Let me just say she's really great in it. And of course Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz from The Favorite. I don't even know who I could pick out of those two. And Olivia Colman. All three of them, really. And Claire Foy, please. Please. And she's great in First Man, which is a movie that's, of course, getting ignored, which is really unfortunate because it's a great movie and nobody went to see it. But it's nice to see Claire Foy get the nomination because I love Claire Foy. I just think she's amazing. And when she was on Jimmy Fallon, before she hosted SNL, she was on last week on Fallon, you know, because they're in the same building. So she made an appearance. She knows all the words to Rapper's Delight, and she performed most of it. They gave her a mic, and it was great. It was Claire Foy doing Rapper's Delight. That was outstanding. All right, best song, All the Stars from Black Panther. Who does that? Because it doesn't have the artist here.
I believe Kendrick Lamar did the soundtrack, so it might be him.
Yeah, it's probably Kendrick Lamar, yeah. Girl in the Movies from Dumplin'. You know that Dumplin' is this Netflix movie that is available now. Well, it's based on a true story about the beauty pageant, the teenage beauty pageants, and Jennifer Aniston plays the overbearing mother who was once a beauty pageant winner herself, trying to get her daughter to get in there. And they wouldn't have made the movie without Dolly Parton, because she was inspired so much by Dolly Parton. So Dolly Parton said yes immediately and wrote 6 original songs for the movie. So they picked one of them from Dumplin', and I would imagine she's going to get an Oscar nomination too. I mean, 6 original songs, and Dolly Parton. Why would you not want to have Dolly Parton on the Oscars to perform? Requiem for a Private War from A Private Roar, Revelation from Boy Erased, and Shallow from A Star Is Born. Now, there could be like 3 or 4 songs from A Star Is Born that they could pick. But they picked Shallow. Best score, Marco Beltrami for A Quiet Place. Terrific, terrific score. Alexandra Desplat for Isle of Dogs. Ludwig Göransson from Black Panther. Great score. That was a really good score. Mark Shaiman for Mary Poppins Returns. And Justin Hurwitz for First Man, which is also one of the best scores of the year. So I'm not seeing Mary Poppins Returns, but Mark Shaiman, you know, has written music and lyrics and stuff forever. He will always, you know, get a pass in my book because he wrote, you know, a ton of the music for South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. So right there, he gets it, you know. Animated feature, The Incredibles 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. By the way, Dan, that movie is getting incredible buzz.
Oh, good.
Eric, Colin, everybody, you know, seriously, loving it. And I didn't, you know, when I first saw the trailer for it, I was like, what is this? And I still thought it was weird. But now, I'm really looking forward to it now because, like, you know, somebody did Brian Tallarico, our good friend Brian Tallarico. He did a ranking of the Marvel movies. He, you know, because he's on Letterboxd, that website where you can rank stuff. And he did a ranking, and he put this movie 4th.
Wow.
In all of the Marvel movies, he put it 4th. And, I mean, so this is a movie that kind of, I guess, is coming out of, you know, I mean, for me, it came out of nowhere. I was like, what is this thing? But the guys behind it, who wrote it, did the Lego movie. So right there, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's really, it's got the buzz for it is massive. It opens next week. It opens a week from today. So now I'm looking forward to it. At first I was like, eh, whatever. But now, like, everybody is loving it, you know. So, and I know how much you enjoy Spider-Man. This might be kind of a fun movie for you to check out. I mean, obviously, when it comes out on video.
Yeah, probably.
Isle of Dogs, which is Wes Anderson's movie, and Mirai. Those are your nominations there. Out of these, I haven't seen the Spider-Man. Isle of Dogs is my favorite out of those. Foreign language film, Capernaum, Roma. Oh, and by the way, Roma is an extraordinary movie. Maybe the best movie I've seen all year. Alfonso Cuarón's autobiographical take on his childhood in Mexico. It is an exquisite piece of work. And of course, the rules the Golden Globes have is that foreign films can't be nominated for Best Picture, which is unbelievably stupid. But it is nominated for foreign language film. That's Roma, Girl from Belgium, Never Look Away from Germany, and Shoplifters from Japan. None of those other movies. I've seen Shoplifters. I've seen Girl. I haven't seen the other two, but none of these movies are going to, it does not even, just give it to Roma. Just give it. Best screenplay. Nick Bellalonga, Brian Curry, and Peter Farrelly for Green Book. Barry Jenkins for If Beale Street Could Talk. Adam McKay for Vice. Deborah Davis and Tony McNamara for The Favorite, and Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Again, Alfonso Cuarón right there. But I love the screenplay for The Favorite. It's one of my favorite. I just think it's an incredibly clever screenplay. And so is Green Book. So, but it's Alfonso Cuarón. Best director, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born. Peter Farrelly for Green Book. When did anybody ever think that Peter Farrelly might get an Oscar? He might get an Oscar nomination. One of the Farrelly brothers, one of the directors of Kingpin, might get an Oscar nomination this year. Adam McKay for Vice, ridiculous. And Spike Lee for Black Klansman. Again, Alfonso Cuarón. motion picture, musical, or comedy. Vice, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, Crazy Rich Asians, and Green Book. Those are your choices. My favorite out of that is The Favorite. And then motion picture drama, A Star is Born, If Beale Street Could Talk, Black Panther, Black Klansman, and Bohemian Rhapsody. Out of all of those, Black Klansman is my favorite out of those. And I hate Bohemian Rhapsody, and that's ridiculous that it's nominated. I really hope it doesn't get a Best Picture nominee for the Academy Awards. So lots of stupid stuff, you know, here. And again, splitting the categories up, but then not splitting them up for the supporting performances makes no sense. But that's the Golden Globes. That's what you get. So, January 6th, Sunday night, January 6th, it will be on, and they'll announce the winners in both the TV and the motion picture categories. And as much as I moan about it and complain, of course I will watch it. I will watch the whole thing. I'll watch the red carpet coverage that starts, I think, Thursday. And you know, we'll see how it goes. And it's always a fun show to watch, even if it's like it's stupid. It's always a fun show to watch. People get bombed, you know what I mean? There's a lot of drinking going on. People like, what was it? Christine Lottie was in the bathroom when they announced that she was a winner, and she had to run out of the bathroom to get up on stage. And it's always interesting, you know, the seating at the Golden Globes, because the TV people are like, they put them in the back. You know, like, even though, you know, more movie stars are doing TV now. Like, are they really going to sit Julia Roberts in the back? Because she's nominated for TV. Are they going to sit Amy Adams? Is she going to be sitting in the back? I don't think so. Now you've blurred that line. You know what I mean? It's hard. I feel sorry for the people who have to do the seating chart now, because before it would be like, just put all the TV people in the second tier all the way in the back, put the movies and the movie stars in the front. Well, now movie stars are all over the TV, so I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting. So, All right. If you guys want to jump in with your Golden Globe thoughts, if you have thoughts about these nominees or some of your favorite things that you've seen this year, who do you hope will win? Who do you hope will get nominated? And Golden Globe stuff from the past is what we're going to jump into. And I've got the 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time we're going to go through. And we would love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Before we get into the 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time, which will lead into our You Big Dummy and Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jam Friday stuff, we announced the other day that Kevin Hart was going to host the Academy Awards. Well, that's changed now. Just a few hours ago, Kevin Hart stepped down from hosting the Oscars. Kevin Hart is stepping down from hosting the Oscars after homophobic tweets surfaced on Thursday. The tweets between 2009 and 2011 included derogatory language referring to gay people and made disparaging comments about sexuality. Some of the tweets have since been deleted. I have made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars, Hart said via Twitter. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists. I sincerely apologize to the LGBT community for my insensitive words from the past. I'm sorry that I hurt people. I am evolving and want to continue to do so. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciation to the Academy. I hope we can meet again. Hart announced on his official Instagram page that he would be the host of the Academy Awards for the first time in the coming year. For years, I have been asked if I would ever host the Oscars, and my answer was always the same. I said that it would be the opportunity of a lifetime for me as a comedian and that it will happen when it's supposed to. He wrote on Tuesday, CNN reached out to Hart's team and the Academy for a response. So there'll be some follow-up on that. But it was only 2 days, and he stepped down. So now they'll announce another host, you know, in the coming days or weeks. But yeah, Kevin Hart stepped down. Interesting. And that's only you reminded me off the air, Dan, that actually happened one other time. It was Eddie Murphy. Right? Because Brett Ratner was producing.
Right. I think under similar circumstances, something with Brett Ratner came up along those same lines. And then once he stepped away, Eddie Murphy said, I'm going to step away as well.
Right. Right. So that was the last time that happened. So interesting. So we'll see who actually the host is. I was not happy that Kevin Hart was going to be the host because I thought he would be terrible hosting the Academy Awards. The circumstances are controversial and everything, but he will not be hosting it. So. It's an interesting development. Anyway, it's awards season, and I have the 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time. Here we go. Number 20, Analyze This. No analysis is really needed to explain why the 1999 comedy Analyze This earned, or well received anyway, a nomination for Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical. The answer is obvious. Robert De Niro is in it, and therefore it's award-worthy, right? Of course, that assumption begins to break down if you actually watch this lowbrow one-note film about a mobster who starts going to therapy. Sound funny? Well, we hope so, because it's only one of the two jokes the movie has to offer. The second had to wait until the Golden Globe nominations were announced. Now, I totally disagree with this. I think Analyze This is a funny... Analyze That, that's a different cup of tea. That, right? Analyze That is the sequel. Analyze This is the original. Yes, Analyze This is the original. Harold Ramis directed that movie. That's a funny movie. It's a comedy, and it's funny. But I don't... Second one was terrible. I agree. The second one was really bad. But the first one's funny. I can see it being nominated for Best Comedy. It was a very funny movie. De Niro's hilarious in it. All right, how about this? Number 19, they say 9. Daniel Day-Lewis can pretty much anything, including, it seems, land in his movies undeserved Golden Globe nominations. Director Rob Marshall tried to recapture his Chicago magic. By the way, director of the Mary Poppins movie, Chicago Magic, in this musical adaptation of the film 8 and a Half, featuring non-singers like Day-Lewis in most of the roles. Despite widespread critical indifference and the obvious fact that the original 8 and a Half was a vastly superior movie to 9, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association still gave the movie a nod for Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical. Yes, 9 is one of the few... You know, you don't hear a lot of criticism about Daniel Day-Lewis, and for good reason, because he's one of the greatest actors that's ever lived and is good in everything. He was not very good in 9, and 9, it was a terrible movie. It was a really bad movie. So I can see them complaining about that nomination. Maybe they just wanted to throw a musical in there. as a nomination. I don't remember what else came out in 2009 on the comedy or musical front. But maybe they were just like, let's get a musical in there. Daniel Day-Lewis is in it, so that's what we'll do. But it's a bad movie. I mean, I think it's the worst movie Daniel Day-Lewis has ever made. How about this one? The 1989 Best Actress category. So what happened? Well, for once they managed to actually nominate some good choices, and that was such an unfamiliar situation that they immediately screwed it up by giving the award to Jodie Foster. And Shirley MacLaine and Sigourney Weaver, yes, there were more winners, 3, than losers, 2. A situation that was made even sillier by the fact that one of the two snub nominees was Meryl Streep. Now we know why they keep having so many goofy nominees, because it makes it so much easier to vote for the winner. What did Shirley MacLaine get nominated for? I know Sigourney Weaver got nominated for Gorillas in the Mist. Jodie Foster got nominated for The Accused. What did Shirley MacLaine get nominated for? I don't remember. It would be from 1988. The movie would be from 1988. But I don't remember that. A three-way tie. I certainly don't remember that. I mean, it was 30 years ago, so I don't really remember it. But Jodie Foster would go on to win the Academy Award, deservedly so, for The Accused. But yeah, that's pretty weird that it was a three-way tie. Jodie Foster, Sigourney Weaver, and Shirley MacLaine. So I don't know what movie Shirley MacLaine was in.
It would have been it would have aired in 88 for.
No, it would have aired in 89, and the movie would be from 88. Because both Gorillas in the Mist and The Accused. What was Meryl Streep nominated for in 88? Well, she just whatever it was a Meryl Streep movie. So of course she was. So she was nominated. It doesn't matter what it was, because she gets nominated every year. So it's a three-way tie. I'm trying to remember if that. I know there's been ties a few times in the Academy Awards, but I don't think the Academy Awards have ever had a three-way tie. That's insane. But a three-way tie for that. So anyway, how about this? In 2001, they nominated Shrek. Look, 2001's animated hit Shrek was good at a lot of things, selling Happy Meals, pulling off fart jokes, making enough money to buy Mike Myers a dozen vacation homes, but best motion picture comedy or musical? Maybe if this were the People's Choice Awards, but consider the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is supposed to consist of professional critics rather than easily amused 9-year-olds. Let's just say that this one was more of a stretch.
All right. Jodie Foster, Shirley MacLaine won for Madame Suszka.
Oh, Madame Suszka. Yeah. I totally forgot about that movie. Okay. I completely forgot about that movie. She did get nominated for the Academy Award too, for that. I don't think Shrek is. I mean, Shrek is fine. I don't think it's worthy of awards. It's fine. It was cute. How many Shreks now are there? There's like 3, right? And then the Puss in Boots,
right? And then some animated TV,
the TV stuff, yeah. And then they did the Broadway musical based on Shrek. I gotta say. You know, I've not seen the Broadway musical of Shrek, but the Shrek costume freaks me out. Like, the dude in the Shrek costume, for some reason, it kind of gives me the willies. I think he looks creepy. All right, next here on the worst nominations, Nuts. This is the Barbra Streisand movie. Based on historical data, it would appear that there is an unwritten rule stating that any film featuring Barbra Streisand must be nominated. Exhibit A, 1987's Nuts, which earned not one but 3 Golden Globe nods. And by the way, Nuts currently has a Rotten Tomatoes fresh rating of 38%. Case closed. I like that movie. Now, it does feature Leslie Nielsen in a Speedo trying to kill Barbra Streisand. And it came out the same year as Naked Gun. So it was very weird. He was like a total lunatic in that movie. And but if you want to see Leslie Nielsen being an abusive John to a hooker running around in just Speedos, that alone is worth renting Nuts. I actually think it's a good. I actually like Nuts. I think it's good. I don't know. I'm not one of that 38%. So, all right. Let's take a break here on WGN, and we've got the news coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about the 20 worst Golden Globe nominations of all time. And they have a tendency to nominate stupid stuff. And yesterday, those nominations were announced, and of course, there was a good amount of stupid nominations that they put out there. But we're going to have fun with some of this stuff. And we'll continue with what people think. If you guys have any comments about the current nominations or the Golden Globes in general, our phone lines and text lines are open at 312-981-7200. In just a little bit, we got our regular Friday features coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, leading into Fly Jams Friday. We also have another very disappointing and unfortunate Blackhawks Express that we're going to play. They've lost 6 games in a row. All right, let's get back to this list of the worst nominations in Golden Globe history. Salmon fishing in Yemen in 2012. yeah, I agree. I got to say, I totally agree with this one. For Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical, this year the spot for most inexplicable nomination was Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. And it doesn't stop there, as Salmon Fishing in the Yemen also landed nods for both of its stars, Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt. 3 nominations? That's basically one for each person on Earth who saw the movie. Who knew that the Yemen Tourism Board could pull this off? Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Have you even heard of that movie, Dan?
I do remember hearing about it just because such a strange title.
It is such a weird title. I forgot Emily Blunt was in it. That was before Emily Blunt became, you know, Emily Blunt. How about this one? Going back to 1961, a majority of one. 1961's A Majority of One wasn't just nominated for Best Motion Picture Comedy, it actually won, beating out films like Breakfast at Tiffany's, among others. The problem, well, let's just say it stars the legendary Alec Guinness as a Japanese guy. Oh, man. Well, wait a minute. So hold on a second. Let me just point something out here. Breakfast at Tiffany's also features an unbelievably offensive Asian stereotype played by Mickey Rooney. So was that the thing in 1961? Well, that would have been the 1960. So in 1960 was the thing like, hey, let's do offensive Asian stereotypes or, you know, hire white guys to play Asian guys and do it poorly? That's weird. I got to say, that's weird. All right, here we go. Dudley Moore was nominated in 1984 for Mickey and Maude. You know what's really funny, Dan? I love this story about Mickey and Maude. It's Blake Edwards' wacky comedy. And there are some funny things in Mickey and Maude. But, you know, Roy used to host, Roy Leonard, for those people who don't know, when I refer to Roy, it's Roy Leonard, my hero. Roy used to host screenings for the public, you know, usually at the Old Orchard or some of the theaters, and he would be there. He'd introduce the movie and shake hands and stuff. And so he had agreed to do a screening of Mickey and Maude. And so then he saw the movie, okay, before the screening, and he hated it. But he still hosted the screening because Roy's a pro. And while he was there, he didn't say anything about the movie. He, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm excited about this movie. He's like, oh, okay. Because I came to the screening. And I'm like, I'm excited about this movie. Dudley Moore's funny. It's Blake Edwards. I can't wait. I'm very excited about it. He's like, all right, have a good time. And then he did the intro to the movie without, you know, he didn't give away the fact that he hated it. And then, like, the next day, I talked to him. I called him at the office to, you know, to say thanks and stuff. The next day, I talked to him. And he... He's like, I had to just leave immediately after I introduced the movie because I hated it. Like, he hated Mickey and Maude. He hated it. But he had already agreed to host the screening based upon the fact that it's Blake Edwards, it's Dudley Moore. But here's what they say. Dudley Moore won the award for best performance by an actor in a motion picture comedy or musical. Now, we don't want to be haters, because A, nobody ever heard of this movie, and B, Dudley Moore was chosen over Bill Murray and Ghostbusters, Eddie Murphy and Beverly Hills Cop and Steve Martin and All of Me. Oh my God. Wow. Clearly Moore had something in his pocket behind the scenes, as between 1979 and 85 he was nominated in this category 5 times. Well, listen. You know, 10, you know, he follows up 10 with Arthur. He was big, man. There was a time when Dudley Moore was huge. And then after Arthur, he basically just said yes to any script. Like, he did so many crappy movies. Dudley Moore did so many terrible movies. You know, but when you start, because 10 is one of my favorite movies of all time. 10 is, I think 10 is the, because in the movie, he's struggling with turning 40. That's, and it's a midlife crisis movie. It's one of the best movies, besides Sideways, it's one of the best movies about turning 40 or having that crisis. It's really, I mean, it's also hilarious, and Bo Derek is hot. So, but for him to beat Steve Martin and all, have you seen All of Me, Dan?
I have not.
Do you know what it's about?
No.
Okay. The spirit of Lily Tomlin, there's some sort of mix-up in this ceremony, and the spirit of Lily Tomlin, who's dead, gets into the body of Steve Martin. So he's got a battle with her. It is a great performance, like a really great physical performance, and because he's doing, you know, he's got to do like the physicality of Lily Tomlin, and then fighting his own body to get control over it. It's a great performance, like a great performance. I can't believe that he didn't get it. All right, how about this? Eddie Murphy and The Nutty Professor. This was the movie that revived Murphy's career long after a stagnant period, and in a way, its nomination for Best Performance by Actor in a Motion Picture Comedy or More can be justified, as Murphy played roughly 800 different parts in the film. So that's kind of impressive on a technical level. On a good film level, though, one fails somewhere between Eddie Murphy and Fat Suit, a lesson that had been learned 15 years ago. It could have saved both Murphy and America a lot of heartbreak. I think The Nutty Professor's funny. I'm telling you, that first scene around the dinner table, that's one of the fun. Every time I watch The Nutty Professor, I'm crying laughing at the end of that scene. Eddie Murphy's brilliant in that movie. Brilliant. Playing every character except a little Hercules. Hercules. I love that movie. I think it's funny. And that's another one that I was like, no, because it's, you know, The Nutty Professor. But then Jerry Lewis got an executive producer credit on it and said he saw it and approved of it. So I was like, okay. And then it turned out to be really funny. Sabrina, 1995. There's nothing inherently terrible about 1995 Sabrina, which stars Harrison Ford, Julia Armand, and Greg Kinnear. That's the second time this movie has come up in a week. but there's nothing particularly good about it either, which is a problem considering it's a remake of the 1955 Billy Wilder classic of the same name. If there's one thing our list shows, though, it's that there's nothing the Hollywood Foreign Press finds quite as impressive as Pedigree, which is why this one earned three nods, including Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. The Golden Globes have a reputation of being more progressive than the Oscars, but they don't show it with this boring homage. How about this one? Bobby in 2006. Lindsay Lohan is an industry and national punchline. Luckily, she had Emilio Estevez directing and stalwarts like Ashton Kutcher co-starring alongside her in this heavy-handed and moralistic look at the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy in 1968. It also has Anthony Hopkins in it, which apparently was sure enough to garner a Best Motion Picture Drama nomination. Wow, that guy, I don't even remember. That movie's that's a terrible movie. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. It's safe to say that this movie is the only musical featuring Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton ever to land a nomination for Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical. You know who's great in that movie, in Best Little Whorehouse? Charles Durning, man. Charles Durning. Always good, man. Always good. I love that guy. I just love him. Everything about him, man. War hero. You know, a great actor. He nimble. He dances his ass off in Best Little Whorehouse. He's great in it. Burlesque. Oh my God, was this movie bad? Speaking of utterly preposterous nominees, Best Motion Picture, Comedy or Musical, the 2011 Golden Globes served up Burlesque, which featured Cher, Christina Aguilera, and Kristen Bell. Kristen Bell was in Burlesque. Wow. How did I not remember that? Because I was a Veronica Mars fan, and that's after Veronica Mars. Wow, I don't remember that at all. I don't remember her being in there at all. All right, and of course, now we have to get to The Tourist. This is one we mentioned before. It wasn't just the movie was nominated for Best Motion Picture Comedy or Musical, even though it was neither a comedy nor a musical. It starred Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie. They were each individually nominated as well, plus the movie completely tanked the box office. How about this? Courtney Love for The People versus Larry Flint. She's good in that movie. Like, really good. Courtney Love knows her way around crazy. Yeah, she does. But even she had to be doing a double take when she landed a nomination for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama for The People versus Larry Flint. Adding to the weirdness of the evening, Love didn't win, but Madonna did. Taking the odds for Evita. All we can guess is that the Hollywood Foreign Press were hoping that the two might get into a Divalicious catfight on stage, because otherwise we're going to write that one off that the whole ceremony was a fever dream. I don't agree with that. Courtney Love was great in that movie. How about this? Jim Carrey for How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Oof. We'll give the live-action adaptation of the beloved Dr. Seuss book this much. It wasn't as terrible as the Mike Myers adaptation of The Cat in the Hat. That's true. They're both bad, but The Cat in the Hat is just unspeakable. But simply not being the epic train wreck isn't enough criteria for earning a Best Actor in the Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical nomination like Jim Carrey got. He's done some really funny movies over the years, and he deserved recognition for it, but this is not one of them. Sarah Jessica Parker for The Family Stone. Sarah Jessica Parker was something of a Golden Globes favorite in the last decade, earning 7 nominations for Sex and the City and winning 4 times. But we never realized just how much the Hollywood Foreign Press loved Carrie Bradshaw until Parker was nominated for a Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical for The Family Stone, a very bad rom-com dramedy in which she played a shrew obsessing over an engagement ring. Mel Gibson, What Women Want. You know that they're making a What Man Want?
I did hear that.
And it's Taraji P. Henson, and it looks awful. But it did have a funny, it does have a, I actually laughed at one of the jokes in the trailer. Here's what I laughed at. One of her assistant is a white guy who works for her, and that's the first person who she can, because she gets hit on the head and she can hear the inner thoughts of men, which is what exactly the Mel Gibson movie was. So at one point, and what happened was she went to like a psychic or something, and who gave her some tea, and she drank the tea and it got her all screwed up, and that's how she banged her head, because the tea was all filled with all kinds of stuff. And so she explains that I had tea and I drank the tea. And she's like, her assistant is like, you drank tea? You drank the tea? And she's like, yeah, I did. And she goes, I thought black people stopped drinking tea after Get Out. I laughed out loud at that. Nothing else in the trailer looks good, but that's a funny line. I thought black people stopped drinking tea after Get Out. That's a great line. So Mel Gibson got nominated for What Women Want. How about this? Green Card. That's not, my dad keeps calling Green Book Green Card. He gets the name wrong. He loves Green Book. It's like his favorite movie now ever, the Viggo Mortensen film. He loves it. But Green Card was a horrible movie. If this were a list about worst Golden Globe winners of all time, Green Card wouldn't just be number one. It would probably be the entire list, because nothing else comes close. Gerard Depardieu, in his first English language role, plays a guy who tries to get a green card by marrying Andy McDowell. Ghost, Home Alone, and Pretty Woman were among those that lost to Green Card, but the Hollywood Foreign Press really likes Depardieu. You know, unfortunately, Peter Weir, director of Fearless, directed that movie. All right, and then finally, number one, Patch Adams. Patch Adams isn't just the worst film to ever receive a Golden Globe nomination. It's one of the worst movies ever made, period. Robin Williams plays a doctor who is a clown and spends nearly 2 hours giving the world its best argument in favor of euthanasia. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. You ever see Patch Adams, Dan?
I have not.
You should count your lucky stars. It's a horrendous movie. So, well, there it is. Proof positive that the Golden Globes are dumb. And yet I'm going to watch it. So there you go.